All right, let's turn to Jonah chapter 1. And while you're turning there, if you'd maybe remind your little gadget, I got an opportunity. A fellow that runs a flag football league asked me to come and preach to 60 men at 10:45 on Saturday and another 60 men at 12:45. 99.9% of them lost. And to that I say, yippee yahoo. I can't wait. Very exciting. What an opportunity. That's Saturday morning. Yep. At First Bible Baptist, 10:45, 12:45. I'm excited. You know, captive, you don't get captive lost people a lot, you know. And when I say lost, if you don't know what that means, they're not for sure they're going to heaven when they die. So we get them here in our Christmas concert, and you get a bunch of them there, and you get them when you go in the prisons. Some of our guys were in the jail today out there in Albion. And by the way, I'll just give a testimony. People say tracks don't work. A guy picked up a track at the Hilton, Apple Fest or Fireman's Carnival, whatever, kept it in his pocket, and ended up incarcerated. That means he went to jail and found the same track on the table there and was in that service today, God dealing with his heart. So that's exciting, seeing God do things. I understand a young lady got saved here this week from visiting Sunday, and that's just a blessing. Let's pray before we go into the Bible. Father, we thank you today for Jesus. It's good to see young people living for something besides self. Good to have opportunities. Good to see people are still getting saved and lives still changing, Lord. And Lord, help us to be keen. Help us to be alert to what's out there. And Lord, we got the answers, and folks sure got a lot of questions. And Lord, we don't want to mess it up for you. Lord, I pray that you just hide me behind the cross and just convey, Lord, what you would have for your people, something very, very different, but very, very practical tonight. And I pray this thought would just permeate our being and we'd walk away better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of... One of these days, I'm just going to rattle that right off. Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now go to Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 6. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. If you can get those big ones, then you'll find Daniel next. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 1, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled." And listen to the King's English, how beautiful it is. "And his sleep break from him." How many can relate? A few. Really, really, help me. If your sleep ever break from you, let me see your hands. Okay, good, good. All right, chapter 6 and verse 18. It's misery, isn't it? Verse 18, Daniel 6, 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep went from him. All right, anyone ever have sleep problems? Yep. Anyone ever undergone a sleep study? You know where you go when you sleep at the place? Okay, we got a few with the mass and all that. Okay, here's the big one now. Anyone ever do a Bible study exclusively on sleep? That's what you think. Amen. So tonight, Jonah, lesson 6, a sleep study. A sleep study. Psalm 139. Don't sleep through this one. Psalm 139. Let me say first that sleep is the design of God. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I know we get busy on our gadgets and we don't have time to meditate anymore in this days, but it's a profound thing in the life of a human being, this thing that we just take for granted we call sleep. If you're a little depressed and you kind of need a boost and you want some good comedy with no R-rated, no violence, no vulgarity, no immorality, Google the evolutionary theory of sleep because it's comical. In fact, you don't even have to do it. I did it for you. Where did sleep come from? Evolutionary theory, also known as the adaptive theory of sleep, suggests that periods of activity and inactivity evolved as a means of conserving energy. According to this theory, all species have adapted to sleep during periods of time when wakefulness would be the most hazardous. That's what I'm looking at you. Crickets. To that I say, ha ha. See, the pit just gets deeper and deeper when you worship and serve the creature more than the creator. I mean, if I made up the theory of evolution, I'd have said, well, when that Big Bang happened, everything just had a cycle, had a sleep cycle. But when you say everything has to evolve, now you got to make like you're smart and try to put a tag of evolution on sleep, and you don't look smart, you look stupid. I got to thinking on this. I mean, why am I preaching on sleep? I don't know. This is what popped out at me. I thought, well, maybe everything doesn't sleep. 10 animals that don't sleep. That's the title of the article, and it's echoed over and over a million times on the internet. 10 animals that don't sleep. Now, this is the godless, spiritually blind, science falsely so-called at its finest. Now, do we have any rocket scientists in here? Me neither. So tell me what I'm missing here. 10 animals that don't sleep. Number 10, giraffes. And the article goes on to say, giraffes usually sleep between 4 and 5 hours, mostly at night. Let's try number 9. Dolphins. Remember, what was the dolphin's name? Flipper. They call him Flipper. Generally, dolphins go to sleep with only one side of their brain, so that they might use the other side of their brain for swimming and to watch out for predators. Sounds like a designer almost. I mean, really, swimming while you're sleeping, probably bad. But half their brain is asleep. Let's try number 8, bullfrogs. Jeremiah, remember him? Listen to this, man. This is science. This is what people have their souls damned because they believe stuff. Bullfrogs do not go into a state that fits the definition of sleep. However, they do go into states of rest throughout the day. Now, how do they know? In 1967, a study was conducted, concluded that they do not go to sleep. In the study, the scientists delivered shocks to the frogs during the day and during the night when they appeared to be sleeping. The researchers expected that the response to stimuli should be slower during sleep. However, the responses were similar during the day and during the night. Therefore, they concluded they couldn't be sleeping. And you know what that just made me conclude as I study this? Pastor Folk evolved from a bullfrog. Because if he is wide awake in the middle of the day and you say, Jay, he says, what? And if he is sound asleep, and I've done it 100 times, in the middle of the night and you say, Jay, he'd say, what? No difference in response. I knew he didn't sleep. Let's try elephants. Remember, animals that don't sleep. Elephants usually go to sleep at night and do so by laying down for 2 to 4 hours. How about the alpine swifts? Now put this in your homeschool, ladies, in your court report, I almost said. The alpine swift is a bird that lives in habitats ranging from southern Europe, we'll get to the message here, all the way to the Himalayas. The birds spend large amounts of their time migrating all the way to southern regions of Africa. The birds may spend up to 200 days in flight during their migration. Just like some marine animals, the alpine swift has the ability to sleep with one side of their brain while the other side focuses on flight and detecting predators. Just think what you could get done if you could sleep with half your brain at a time. I ain't found an animal that hadn't slept yet. Deer do not sleep that much during the day or night. Ostriches. The bird usually sleeps while standing upright with both eyes open. Now you look at one of them and you'll see how the preacher feels. Horses have the ability to sleep for only 2 hours a day. The animals sleep best in groups for additional protection. Seals. Some seals go to sleep with one side of their brain while others go to sleep completely. Others can go to sleep while completely submerged and come up to the water surface to get a few breaths of air before and go back down to take a nap. 10 animals that don't sleep. Whales, number one. Due to their massive sizes, not all whales can afford to sleep for long, as they can easily drown. In fact, scientists suspect that they require the least sleep among mammals, accounting for less than 10% of their daily activities. See what happens when you just scratch a little bit off the surface? Is there an animal that sleeps the design of God? Well, there's animals that don't sleep. Yeah, it's proven. There's 10 of them. Listen, do what you want. It's a free country. But when science conflicts with the Bible, I'm going with the Bible. I'm going with the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we didn't evolve because it's safer to sleep at night because it's dangerous out there. The evening and the morning were the first day, and he said, I'll let him sleep at night. And because really, and I could be wrong, Dylan, I'll be like Keith Daniel, don't correct me if I'm wrong, tell me later. But the truckers, the 18-wheel truckers like him that really get stuff done, they do it at night. You know why? It's safer. There's less people on the roads. But that's just another evolutionary theory. Okay, sleep was designed by God. Listen to this. Listen, that's famous facts and figures, fearfully and wonderfully made. Serves to re-energize the body's cells, clear waste from the brain, and support learning and memory. Most of the sleeping we do is of the SWS variety, characterized by, listen, you're just going to fall asleep when you hear it. Large, slow brain waves, relaxed muscles, and slow deep breathing, which may help the brain and body to recuperate after a long day. Can't you wait to get to bed tonight? During deep sleep, your body works to repair muscle, organs, and other cells. Chemicals that strengthen your immune system start to circulate in your blood. You can spend about a... Listen, old people. You're gonna get a little depressed here. You spend about a fifth of your night's sleep in deep sleep when you're young and healthy. More if you haven't slept enough, but it starts to fade. This is the deep sleep. This is the part where you're really out cold and everything's doing what it's got to do, because when you get into that rapid eye movement now, you might as well be awake. All your functions are the same as they are. Watch. But that starts to fade, and by the time you're over 65, deep sleep can be down to zero. And you wonder why all the old people are up at 4 in the morning with the light on. You say, why are we looking at this? I'm just showing off the builder. He said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're so hooked on our gadgets and all our time conserving stuff that we don't have time just to think and say, wow, something as simple as what we spend a third to a half of our life doing. The brain stem that God created from dust. You say the Bible's far-fetched. I think it's far-fetched as evolution. I'll take the dust. This area plays a key role in many parts of sleep. Now, this is scientists talking. The brain stem talks to the hypothalamus. Really? And you think I hear voices. Another brain structure to help you drift off to wake up. All right, put them out, Charlie. Okay. All right, start telling them it's time to wake up. Together, they make a chemical called GABA. The smart people probably know if that's GABA or GABA or what it is, that quiets arousal centers that might keep you from sleeping. During REM sleep, this is wild, the brainstorm sends signal to paralyze the muscles that move your body to stop you from acting out your dreams. Or you'd be going... crazy. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Hormone symphony. Your body makes more of some hormones while you are asleep and lowers others. For example, levels of growth hormone go up and cortisol, which is tied to stress, goes down. Some scientists think insomnia could be related to a problem with your body's hormone-making system. Also, lack of sleep can mess with the levels of the hormones that control hunger. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sleep. Sleep. It's a good thing. It's a good thing designed by the Creator. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at some sleep in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19. The Lord by wisdom, that's going to be the subject, hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. What? This wisdom, this understanding, this knowledge. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down, watch it, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Isn't it sweet? I mean, when the mind and the body and the soul is all right, and you can, it seems less than it used to be when you were young and just all wore out, and you could sleep through a hurricane, man. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. I want to thank God for sleep tonight. Verse 12, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Whether he eat little or much, he's so pooped out, he's just crashing. I don't know if I told it here. I know I told it somewhere. I said my philosophy of ministry in my younger years was a poor plan, violently executed, will work. My philosophy of ministry in my later years is no nap, no zap. Man, if you can get a quick nap, not during preaching, something happens. It's like you don't have time to get insomnia yet. Those first, I've been looking at this thing, the beginning of the sleep is the best. It's when you get into that deep, I have crazy dreams. You know, when you get older, you kind of have to use the facilities in the night, and man, that thing comes and just water and drowning and mud and snow and avalanches and every single night. But I'll tell you, when you wake up, you went to bed at 10. John Wesley said, all good men are in bed by 10 o'clock. Good night, gentlemen. Turn the lights out. When you wake up, now my son-in-law, Jacob, who has a little trouble sleeping, the old Jacob, not the new Jacob, has a little trouble sleeping. He said the biggest mistake you can make, listen to you guys that got the apnea and all that, don't look at the clock when you wake up in the night. It'll ruin you. And he's right, but I still can't help it. There is something about going to bed at 10 o'clock and you wake up and you look at the clock and it doesn't say 11:30. It says 6 a.m. I made it! Right, Sherry? Right, Bill? Right, Rob? A whole night's sleep! Woo! That's sweet. Say amen. If you don't say amen, you're going to be up all night. Being so exhausted that when you hit the pillow, you don't even remember. Hard labor makes you tired. But I think personally, even a sweeter sleep is working for the Lord and being tired. Go to Psalm 132. Now, if someone ever says, have you ever had a sleep study? You can all raise your hand. Psalm 132. Verse 1. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, 1, nor go up into my bed, 2, I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. I'm not going to sleep until I do something for God. Man, there's something about being wore out from doing something for God. Something about opening and alleging. Some of you have been involved in this lately, getting that book open and your brain is working. I mean, your heart rate may not be any more than it is when you're sleeping, but there's something about getting that book open. There's something about getting in the public sector and just telling people about Jesus. There's something about these missions trips when you're traveling down the Amazon River and running across Arizona deserts with these trucks and all that. There's just something about laying your head in your pillow. Oh. And like that drunken Proverbs 23, waking up and seeking it yet again. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, but there's a problem with the design. And the problem entered in the garden. And it cursed the design. It messed up the design, and what it was sin. Sin messes up sleep. Now, I'm not talking about, let me clarify something. If you got sleep issues, that don't mean you're in sin, but it is the result of the curse. You could be right with God, right? You're walking right, everything's right on. You're saved, you're living, you're by, you're in prayer, you're serving God. You can't sleep. You know why? Because of the curse of sin that messed everything up. It takes away the sweetness of sleep. Ecclesiastes 5, we'll look at the second half. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Number one, worry can sour a night's sleep, a sweet night's sleep. Verse 11, 5:11. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. How many have found that? Some of you guys, you were 18 years old, you thought, man, if I could... What you're making now is a dream. A paradise dream compared to what you thought when you were 18. And you don't have any more now than you had back then. The more you get, the more you spend. It's just... What good is there to the owners thereof, saying in the beholding of with their eyes, I got a new this, I got a new trinket, I got a new that. What do you do with it? Just look at it, right? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Man, the stock market tanks. In the Depression, they were jumping off the bridge. I've lost my fortune. I get what my wife has termed builder's insomnia and buyer's insomnia. Both of these buildings, building the kind of general contracting, not knowing my foot from my head, I probably lost more sleep in those whatever cumulative time that was than ever in my life. I would literally wake up and say, when are we going to, and I'd be thinking about this corner where we're going to tie this thing in over here. Zzz, and many nights, just finally after 2:30, researching these pews. I knew every single pew from here to California. I bought a tractor a couple months ago. I knew every used tractor from here to the Mississippi River. When? 2 a.m. Big purchase. Buyer's insomnia, builder's insomnia. You know what that is? That's not casting your care upon him. That's taking that whole load and what you're going through and what you're buying and what you're building, including your family, including your ministry, and just worry yourself sick. Riches. What am I going to do? What am I going to do for retirement? What am I going to do with the kids? What am I going to do if this car breaks? That's what Jesus is for. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Worry can sour a night's sleep. Proverbs 4. I'm going to call it the hustle. And we could call it sin. We call it evil. The hustle can sour a night's sleep. And you that... both that came up in the world and that came up in church, you can relate if you're a teenager. Proverbs 4:13. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy love. That's the first girlfriend you want right there, guys. Instruction. Enter not into the path of the wicked. That means you shouldn't go to the places you used to go. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You know why? Because you are a product of your environment. You're not going to make the bad apples good. They're going to make you bad. It's separation is as clear as the nose on your face from Genesis to Revelation. Light from darkness at the end. Heaven and hell. Light from darkness at the beginning in Genesis. Heaven and hell at the end. They're always separate. He said, don't go the way. For, watch this. Talk about evil men, wicked men. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. At least the rich guy wants to sleep but can't. These guys think they're missing something. I can't go to bed 10 o'clock. I might miss the hustle. I might miss the big... Why do you think Las Vegas got all them lights on all night long? You don't know if it's day or night. I've never been there. They tell me there's no clocks in the place. You're not going to bed, are we? We had guys, we'd be out. We got to work in the morning, man. Where are you going? Hey, man, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's go to Buffalo. They're open till 4. Who knows what might happen there? See, they sleep not. That's why half the evil men that, and we'll get to another reason, laziness, they don't get up till 11, 12 o'clock. They don't go to bed till 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. The hustle. Let me say something to you young people. If you are ever going to amount to a hill of beans for God, you are going to have to be as disciplined to get in the bed as you are to get out of the bed. Now listen, if you are a, I gotta give exceptions. If you are a night owl, I pity you. But I know great men of God, men in this room that are night owls. They have a couple of my kids, they have a hard time in the morning, but they can get with God at night. But you better not just use that excuse because you can't get out to bed. Because there's too many distractions at night. I mean, you want to sneak off and watch that questionable movie that curses God? You're probably not going to do it at 7:30 in the morning. The distractions come at night. But if you are a night person, Herb Young, right, Jay? Herb Young, man, he was a night guy. Put the kids down at night, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, open up that book and get with God. And he'd been walking with God for 40 years, man, 40 years. But I'm telling you, you must guard your mornings. You will talk yourself to death at night and say nothing. Blah, 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 blah. I'm with my friends. We got to do this. I don't want to miss nothing. You're going to miss God in the morning. The habits you develop now are what you are going to carry into your marriage and into your life and into your parenting and into your ministry. You're not going to do it later. Well, someday when I'm married, I'll get up. You heard the guys up here that got the babies. I realize how little sleep I need. You might be getting up with the baby so that your wife will ever give you a kiss again. Worry can cause sleep to break. The hustle can cause sleep to break. And then there's sin messes everything up. God had a great thing going with this sleep. So we can't sleep. Or what does sin do? Too much sleep. What brings that on? Number one, laziness. See, all of God's good stuff we wreck with sin. It's why you need a Bible. It's why you need a church. It's why you need the Holy Spirit in you. That's why you need to be saved. It's why you need a lot of good preaching to keep this flesh in check. Eating is a great thing. Too much is a sin. Sex is a great thing. Wrong, it's perverted. Sleeping is a great thing. Too much is slothfulness and laziness and sin. Proverbs 6. We're almost right there. Verse 4. Good instruction for young men, young ladies. Give not sleep to thine eyes. Some of you need that verse when I'm preaching, and I hear you, man. I'm out there too sometimes. And it's tough. You just get in this. And what's crazy about it is the second you say amen, you wake right up. Amen. Hey, who said amen? I heard that. So the sleep is saying, gimme. And he said, no, don't give sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. See, a lot of time when the sleep is bad in the Bible, the word slumber is with it. That's lazy. That's just, my friend. Before I got saved, my friend told me, I don't know what this lady's name was. She said, Mike, tomorrow's Saturday, I'm going to sleep all day. I'm going to get up about 2 o'clock, make me some scrambled eggs, go back to bed. You know what she did? She loved sleep. Now, there's a difference between loving sleep. When he says love not sleep, now listen, if you get a good night's sleep after not getting it for a while, thank you, Lord. Laziness. Let's 6:4. Give not sleep to thine eyes and slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Young people, listen, especially you tweens or whatever you call you before you're a teenager and you're just starting to get an opinion. You just realized dad's not Joseph and your mother's not Mary. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, that means no boss. Three levels of servanthood and character when you're young. One, you do what you're told. That's deep, isn't it? Two, you ask what needs to be done. Three, you do what needs to be done without being told. That's what the ant does. No boss. Just do the work. Just do the work. Just do the work. All right? Let's read on. Provideth her meat in the summer, verse 8, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? You should put that on your alarm clock. I mean, if you hit the snooze alarm, the flesh got the victory and you hadn't even put your feet on the bed yet, on the ground. When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber. Oh, don't you just feel it? A little folding of the hands to sleep. Gloomy Rochester winter day. It's been cloudy for a month. The snow doesn't land. It just goes like this. You got that wood stove burning. You wake up, I got to have something sweet. My blood sugar's low, and you go and eat some half of brownies and just... Verse 11, so shall thy poverty, spiritual, physical, come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Proverbs 26. Just something practical tonight that you youngins, you're developing your habits. You better get that thing now. I thank God. I don't know. I stood up here and read you my high school report card. How did I learn to read? It had to be God winked at my ignorance knowing. That and how did I ever become a morning person? I thank God for that. Proverbs, and I don't know what to tell you if you're not. I mean, it's not. You could pray, but I know this. You better go to bed on time. Because you can't say, I'm not a morning person. I went to bed 2:30 last night. Man, I go to Texas an hour behind, and I got jet lag for 2 weeks. You'll get that in a minute. Proverbs 26:13. Listen, man. Verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. I can't get up. I can't go to work. I can't do that job. My shoulder's sore. When we started that church downtown, man, these guys, they'd be like brick houses. I'm on disability. Disability? You know, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. You ain't sent no ships out, pal. As the door turneth upon the hinges, this is the Bible, this is the antiquated Bible, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand. Ooh, I just love feeling my hands when I'm sleepy. It grieveth him to bring it to his mouth. Just feed me. Let someone else feed me because I'm such a sloth, I don't even want to bring my hand to my mouth. This is a big problem today. Talk to these guys that are employers and ask them. They ain't never worked a day. The only thing they know how to work is their fingers on them time-wasting junk. Can't hammer a nail, can't screw a screw gun. Amen. I want to be rich. I look at a Christian school yearbook. This would have been 1993. That's a lot of years ago.
I want to be a professional soccer player. I want to be a millionaire. Really?
The sloth got a lot of excuses. The sloth will hide his hand in his bosom and grieveth him to bring it to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men render a reason. They've got energy and they got a hustler's mindset for being lazy, but they can't apply it to doing good. They got all kinds of energy to make excuses. Oh, I can't do this because I got to have this in my mother and my father. And you could do anything with Jesus. It's not your mother's fault. It's not your father's fault. It's not your pastor's fault. I was hurt. I was hurt too. Oh, we live in an excuse-laden society. What are you going to tell God on the throne when you look at him?
My father was mean.
You didn't have some of our fathers. You wouldn't be able to take it. He'd have broke that video game over your head. They were rough. That old school was rough. Man, my Aunt Connie, she'd have a garage sale. This is totally off the subject, but she'd have a little trinket, an ashtray or a teacup or something for a quarter. Lady would say, would you take a dime for this? I'll smash it for a dime. Let me tell you, you did not want to meet her spoon, young man. When she opened the drawer to get the spoon to stir the sauce, you were running for cover. Proverbs 20. You can have a good time around the Word of God, can't you? This is like looking in the mirror, isn't it? It's got our number. Probably if you look long enough, you could probably find some animal in here that doesn't sleep. Proverbs chapter 20. Here it is, man. 13. Love not sleep. Now, I just look at my notes in my Bible, and I've had this Bible since 1910. And I got one word with two exclamation points. Ouch. Who doesn't love it? But you know the difference between loving it, where you become a sluggard. Where you like it more than work, where you love it more than ministry, where you love it more than your family, and all you want to do is sleep. Lest thou come to poverty, spiritual and physical, open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Proverbs 20, verse 4. Here's the excuses again. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Well, he ain't going to plow by reason of the heat either. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. There's a whole lot of people on the welfare rolls. They just don't want to work. We got to help these people. And my father grew up on welfare, man. They had nothing. That system was designed not as a lifestyle, but to get you over the short run. Can you get me a job? Yeah, in the sewer with the rats. And 15 years later, they own the plumbing company. 20 years later, they were running all the public offices, the sewer system and the water system and the electrical. All those guys with the big crooked noses, you know where they started? On welfare. My father said they would come in our house, 11 siblings. They'd come in that house every other week. Where'd you get that jacket? Where'd you get that icebox? Those aren't welfare shoes. He said everybody knew who was on welfare because they gave us shoes. They didn't want to live like that. We got a generation now, anything but work. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Why don't you go to work, man? You're out there with a sign cooking like hot bacon on a street corner, and the unemployment rate is 3 point something, the lowest it's ever been. They give you free schooling, free training, free college, free food, free house. We're just not for the little guy. What do you want? Proverbs 24. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Look at this. And this is what I'm just trying to get for us tonight as we look at this sloth and this sleeping thing. Then I saw, you got to look up from your little toy if you're going to see this kind of stuff and meditate on it, and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And what did he learn? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A little sleep, a little slumber. Just a little, a little, a little, a little, a little, a little, a little. Thousands of littles added up to a sloth that was a disgrace. Worry and the hustle can bring lack of sleep. Laziness and slothfulness can bring too much sleep. Now, Ecclesiastes over there says there's a time to die, time to be born, it's time for that. It doesn't say, I'm surprised, a time to sleep and a time to be awake. You know what the prayer I think should be? Lord, give me the balance that I need. Listen, I walk between 5.5 to 7 miles every day, and if I can, I didn't today, but if I can, I am going to take a nap. Why? Because I'm going to, for that time, invest in that little no nap, no zap time. And I know sometimes I wish I could do that. I wish you could too. And that some guy, Jake, in 5 minutes, he'll stop on 490. You see, all those things that was talking about, the long breaths, the relax, wake up, bing, 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 bing. Laziness and slothfulness can bring too much sleep. But here's another one. I think this was Jonah's problem. Carelessness. Just don't care. The sloth doesn't care that he's poor. Don't you want something? Don't you want, no, I just want to play my video game. Rot like a sloth with moss growing on me in my little raggedy apartment and filthy, and get my little welfare check for the rest of my life and amount to nothing. As long as I can sleep. The sloth doesn't care about poverty, long as he can sleep. As long as I can mooch off a mom and dad forever, just let me sleep. Ladies, you need to get them boys to work. Don't be making their beds when they're 14 years old. Some of you just died on that one. Don't say that. Mommy's going to make me make my bed. A city's about to get judged in Jonah chapter 1. The mariners are dying, throwing out their wares, everything they had. And Jonah could care less. You think of someone else that was in a ship when there was a storm? Jesus Christ. You see how faith and apathy can be so close but so far apart. One guy's in the boat. He's got such faith and trust in his Father that he can sleep in a storm, and the other guy just could care less, and that's why he's sleeping. Go to Proverbs 10. I'm finishing up. Don't go to sleep yet. Now, young people, listen. What was Brother Holt's to Sierra Leone, missionary to Sierra Leone? What were his 3 points? And he was probably here 8 years ago. No, Sue, you can't. You're Jesse. Learn, earn, return. Those are the phases, and that's what he did his learning, then he did his earning, and he went later in life to the mission field. Proverbs 10:5. Pardon? Coast Guard, see that? 10:5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. And probably because he was sleeping in the summer too. Listen, in the spring and the summer of your life, now is the time to gather. Ask some of these married guys with the babies. You're not going to probably go to institute 3 nights a week once you get a wife and 2 babies. Learn now. Listen, and I'm forgiven, I'm for sacrificing, but you know you go to talk to a father about his daughter. I mean, do you got more than 5 cents in the bank? 35 years ago. That's almost a half a century. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying I don't know if I liked work as much as I liked the money. I had $20,000 in the bank when I walked down that aisle. And she had another 10, and man, we bought us a house. That let off a lot of that pressure from finances. You say, what were you doing? Unsaved, gathering in the summer, planting, getting your education. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Do something until you find out what God wants you to do. You see what happened to Joel Haynes? He wasn't going to go back there. He grew up there. Nothing was happening there. His dad said, Joe, why don't you come here until you figure out what you want to do and help me. He's turning that reservation upside down. You saw my email. 7 or 8 people from that VBS are in church every Sunday. It's fruit abounding to your account. Well, I don't know about sending my girls out to the world. I'm not sending my girls out to the world. But they're going to do something and not sit around. Boys especially, learn something. And if you got an attitude in your little homeschool, what am I ever going to do with this? What am I ever going to do with algebra? How about learn to think? You don't say that about that stupid video game you waste your time on. You mothers, I shouldn't teach you to be sarcastic. But do your kids say, what am I ever going to use this for? You should look when they're playing them games and go, what are you ever going to use that for? Mark 13. Man, that don't bother you none. What are you ever going to use football for? What are you ever going to use basketball for? You're too short to make the Sandlot team. Man, I got me a 3-pointer the other night. Look at me. Come on. Couldn't lead someone to Christ if your life depended on it. Mark 13, but man, you got a 3-pointer. Best 9-year-old that ever shot. Mark 13. Well, if you're a visitor here tonight, which I see some out there, give me another chance in a couple weeks. Mark 13, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Jesus is coming back one day at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And that doesn't mean literal physical sleep. That means you're wide awake, but you are sleeping concerning spiritual things. There's work to do.
There's a world that's on their way to hell, on their way to judgment, Jonah, and too many are sleeping in the ship. I was talking to this guy tonight about this thing I'm going to be preaching at. I said, well, I see you there. He goes, well, I'm up on the time board. He goes, we can't get no help for nothing. I said, you're kidding. With all those people you can't get, we need referees. I'm arguing with the other coach over here because he wants the referees. We can't get referees. We can't get parking lot. We can't get nothing. God's got an admonition. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sleep, isn't it something? One half to one third of our lives. Sleeping. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others. He's not talking about the sleep cycle of our bodies. He's talking about people that are asleep spiritually. Let us not sleep as others. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Unless you're really a sloth, then you sleep in the day and night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. Unless you're a real hardcore drunk, then you're drunk in the daytime too. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for an helmet of salvation. Ephesians 5. I promise that's the last verse. Develop your habits now, young people. Guard your mornings now, young people. Verse 14, Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now you can say you've done a sleep study. Jonah was sleeping when there was work to be done. Young people, develop your habits now. Listen, the decisions you make in this area, if you're going to amount to anything for God, are as important as who you're going to choose and to marry and what you're going to do with your life as far as ministry when it comes to God. Because these things that I'm talking about will impact those things. Let's stand. You ever fall asleep behind the wheel? Grace, have I? Where are you? Hi, Grace. She pulled the wheel out of my hand and the reservation. Middle of the day, man, them long Arizona roads, and it was my nap time, and I didn't get in the... And she, like, screamed at me. But that was one time. And the next day, I think the first time I ever was asleep in Noah. You know, you can't remember the last 2 miles. But you know what? It's weird. You're asleep, and you don't even know it. God, am I asleep spiritually? Help me, Lord. Help me to get the balance. Help me to develop the physical and the spiritual. It's huge. It's a half to a third of our lives in the physical side, and it surely impacts the spiritual side. 227.